If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you can take them and turn to Philippians chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 19 through 30 here in just a moment. Paul, who wrote this letter, was a great missionary, perhaps the greatest missionary in the history of the church. And there are many people who view Paul as this lone ranger kind of guy, the guy that did everything by himself, but there's nothing further from the truth. Paul was a person who understood that in order to do ministry, that he had to develop a team of people around him to be involved in the ministry that he was doing, and then to turn them loose to do ministry. And halfway through this letter to the Philippians, as we were reading this, he mentions some people that were involved in the ministry. And at first, as you read through this, it might be easy to just skip this part of the letter, and you're reading through, and there's some really good stuff here, and then he stops and he talks about these people and maybe skip that and then move on to this other really good stuff in the letter. But I think there's some great lessons here for us in these verses that we're going to look at today. Paul has always been a hero of mine. I didn't grow up reading my Bible a whole lot, but when I got to college and began to study my Bible in college, I became a big fan of two individuals in the New Testament, Peter and Paul. And mostly because I have all of their bad qualities, as I read about them, I understood some of their qualities. You know, like Peter, he was one who was quick to speak. He was one that, without thinking, would say things, and I used to be that way. And Peter was the guy who really did like to be the center of attention, right? Whenever the apostles were together and something needed to be said or something done, you know, Peter was the one. He's the one that jumped out of the boat, right? And so I see some of his qualities, and I see them in me. And Paul. Paul had some qualities that I also really resonated with. Like, he was arrogant. And a long time ago, I used to be arrogant. And so I had that quality of Paul. And Paul was a person who wasn't afraid of a fight. He wasn't afraid to stand up for things. And there was a time in my life when I would look for opportunities to argue and to fight. And so I saw those qualities of Paul. But I do have some of his good qualities. I do, a couple of them. I do believe in expanding ministry and raising up leaders. We at Boyd Avenue, we have a tremendous staff here at our church. We have a great, great group of people that are leading ministry teams in our church, and we have other needs, and we need more ministry team leaders to lead. And we need people to be involved on these ministry teams and be team members. And in order to be the church that God would have us to be, we need that. And that might mean that some of you sitting here this morning find your place involved in one of these ministries so we can continue to be the church that God would have us to be. This is something we do together. And as Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians, he gives example of those who are working together in the ministry. And so this morning, let's read this and learn from these examples today. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not for those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself will also be coming shortly. But I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. In the beginning of this letter, we see that Paul and Timothy were together as this letter was penned. And we see the relationship in Acts that Paul and Timothy had as Timothy, a young convert, has this relationship with Paul, and Paul takes Timothy on these missionary journeys. Timothy, His name means one who honors God. And we read about Timothy and things in the Bible, we see that he lived up to his name. The Philippians, they knew him well. He was there when Paul started the church in Philippi. When Paul was there, they knew Timothy. They knew him well. He had helped start many churches, and he had invested in many people. And Timothy was with Paul as they raised leaders. They would go to these churches, and they would begin a work, and they would invest themselves in the lives of people. And then when they moved on, the church could grow and succeed because they turned over the ministry to the people that were there, all for the sake of the gospel. Now, there are many important people in our world, and compared to a lot of important people in our world, Timothy maybe is not that important. Just a minor person in our world. When you look at the Bible, there are great, great men in the Bible like Peter and like Paul, and maybe Timothy is not considered to be one of those great people like Peter and Paul. But you know what he was? He was available. He was available to do ministry inside the church. Inside the body of believers, he was not only important, he was essential because he cared and loved people. And there's some lessons here for us. You know, we may not be a Paul, and there's only so many Pauls, but there's a place for us. There's a place for us in ministries. If you look at Timothy, there's a place for us on a team if we make ourselves available. If we're willing to put Christ first and put other people first, there is a place for us. And so Paul says, look, I'm sending Timothy to Philippi. I'm sending him to you because he cares about you. Timothy understood the words that we have read about here in Philippians, the words that he heard about his Christ, where it says, have this mind among yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See, to Timothy, these just weren't words. Man, they're beautiful words. It's a great picture of who Jesus was, but to Timothy, they just weren't words that were penned. It wasn't like when Paul was writing the letter and he was showing it to Timothy and says, hey, I'm going to write this, what are you thinking? And Timothy says, wow, how poetic. I like that. It wasn't just that. It was more than words on a page to him. This was a responsibility he took upon himself. See, he saw Jesus and what Jesus did, and he also humbled himself. He said, Jesus gave his life for me. I'm going to humble myself, and I want to care about people the way that Jesus cared about people. He says, look, I'm responsible for the people that God have entrusted to me, and so I need to be committed to them, because my God is committed to me. This was the attitude of Timothy. Think of this responsibility. You know, as your pastor, I have to care in this way. Your staff has to care in this way. Your ministry team leaders, they have to care in this way. And you, as you are part of this church, you need to care for each other in this way. Is this a responsibility that we take, as Timothy did, for the sake of Jesus? Do we serve one another in the ways that we see Timothy serve? Do we have a genuine concern for the welfare of our brothers and sisters inside the church that we're willing to give ourselves for them? There was nothing forceful or artificial about Timothy's care. It came naturally to him because Jesus changed his heart. And Jesus changed his life. And this care and this love that he had for others was because of a change in his life that God did when he accepted Christ as his Savior. If we want to care as Timothy cared, then we have to allow God to change our hearts. We must deeply accept not only the salvation that God has for us, but the calling that he has placed upon us. And there's a lot of discussion about calling, but I'm telling you this morning, if you are a believer in Christ, that God has called you to something. He has called you to something. He has, I say this over and over again, he has a purpose for you. Because Timothy was changed in his relationship with Jesus, and because he understood the forgiveness of sin, because he had a desire to follow wherever God would have him to go, he desperately wanted this for others. He wanted them to experience this, and so he was willing to go. And not everybody was like that. Not everyone had the attitude of Timothy. Paul writes in verse 21, for they all seek, not all will go, they all seek after their own interest, not of those of Jesus Christ. Who was the they? Well, evidently there were people in Paul's realm that were perfectly qualified to go. They had all the talents to go. They had the ability to go. They could have went, but they did not go. And why did they not go? It says because they cared more about their own interest than they did in the interest of others. Maybe these were the ones that Paul wrote about a little earlier that says they would rather grumble and complain about their own desires than to put others first and to serve. Maybe these were the people here. He says there are people that were like that, but not Timothy. Timothy is different. Timothy is humble, and he is willing, and he is going to come. And how about us? Are we like the others that Paul mentioned, the ones that weren't willing to go? Are we like the ones who our own self-interest is more important than the interest of others and more important than what God would have for us? Are we concerned about the others? Do we serve others? Do we really care? Are we focused on our own lives, or are we like Timothy? Timothy, he understood all this, but he had spent some time with Paul, and he was mentored by Paul, and he was prepared by Paul to go do ministry. He accepted the calling of Jesus on his life and was willing to go. Let's take a moment and let's look at Paul, one who prepares others for ministry. In verse 22, it says, but you know of his proven worth, talking about Timothy, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself will also be coming shortly. Paul was a man who was focused on serving Jesus. In verse 19, he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. I hope in the Lord. In verse 24, later it says, I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also be coming to you shortly. I trust in the Lord. Paul's desire, his desire was to follow what God would have for him. His desire was to send Timothy to this church in Philippi. He sent him to him because he himself could not go. He says, I'm hoping ultimately I can be there, but I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust God as I send Timothy, and I'm going to trust God, and hopefully I can come too. But ultimately, I'm going to submit my leadership, Paul. I'm going to submit my leadership to that of Jesus, and I'm going to do what he would have. See, he understood that it wasn't his ministry. It was not about him. It was about Jesus, and so he submitted it to Jesus' ministry, and he carried out what God had entrusted him to do. And in Paul's letters to Timothy, we see about who this person Timothy is that he is sending out. Timothy was a person who was timid. Timothy was a regular guy. He was somebody that was saved, and Paul had spent some time with. And Paul said, hey, Timothy, I see something in you. Why don't you come with me? And we're going to journey around the area, and we're going to start these churches, and I'm going to show you how to do ministry. And he spent some time together, and he poured himself into Timothy for the sake of the gospel. And this is a perfect example of the truth that God can use someone who is willing. See, Timothy was willing, and Paul was willing to invest in him. We see God work through them. And he sends Timothy to this church at Philippi. And note something, there was no indication that the Philippians were unhappy that Timothy was coming instead of Paul. They understood that Paul was unable to come, and Timothy was an extension of Paul's ministry, and it was good to have Timothy coming. Another great lesson for us is we do ministry together. If people from our church are doing ministry, then we are doing ministry. Sometimes I hear someone say, well, the church didn't reach out to me. And sometimes that means that I didn't reach out to them, and I apologize for that. But I said, so did somebody? Well, yeah, some of our deacons did, or my small group did, and so-and-so did, and so-and-so did. And I said, well, let me tell you, the church reached out to you. I may not have, but the church ministered because we are the church. And when Paul sends Timothy, it wasn't that Paul didn't want to go, but Timothy went, and he ministered to the people here. See, the truth is I really do have a desire to minister to everyone. I do. It's my heart. I really want to But in reality, I can't. I can't. And if we're not structured in a way to really reach people, then people are going to be missed. It takes us. See, if you expect me to care for everyone, I'm sorry. I'm going to miss someone. And I don't want to, but it's the truth. And if you expect your staff to minister to every need in our church, then we're going to miss someone. And I'm sorry. We don't want to miss anyone. That's not a desire, but it's a reality. It's going to happen. But if you decide to care for each other, if you decide that the people that are in your groups, in your relationships, the people know, if you decide to minister to each other, then nobody will be missed by the church because we are ministering together. This is the way it's designed. It's the way it's supposed to be. We are to serve and care for and love each other. It has to be we. But it can't be we if we don't give people the opportunities and the training and empower them to serve. It'd be normal in our world today to say, I will get to this in my timing. I'll get to this when it's convenient for me, when it's best for me. But instead, Paul says, look, for the sake of this church, I'm going to do whatever I can to prepare and to send Timothy. Paul multiplied himself so that ministry could be done. That's what his vision was. I have worked under some people who claim to do this, but they're micromanagers. You ever worked under a micromanager? It's a miserable place to be. It's miserable. People that say they want to expand things, they want to expand it so far as they can control it. Paul was sitting in jail. He had no ability to control, but he had a heart to serve. And so he sends Timothy. Paul knew that at some point his ministry was going to end. He didn't know sitting in this jail cell if he was ever going to get out. And he knew that if the ministry was going to continue, that people needed to be trained and they need to be given opportunities to serve. You know, this is one of the reasons that I don't preach every week. We have others that are called and gifted and able. And as a church, we need to give them opportunity. A couple years ago, we went through this vision casting, and we said as a church, we want to be a church that trains and empowers people to do ministry, giving them opportunities to serve. And if we really want to be that church, then we have to take stuff like this seriously, and we have to do it. And if people want opportunity and they truly want to serve, then they need to humble themselves and serve and do so sacrificially. And look at the example that we have of Epaphroditus. Let's read together in verses 25 through 30 again. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. Because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him also, but on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then, the Lord, with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. So you have Epaphroditus here. He's mentioned here alone. No other place in Scripture do we read this man's name. Just here. He was a Philippian, and he was sent by the church to care for Paul who was in prison. So they sent him. And the church in Philippi, we see in chapter 4, they had gathered a gift for Paul, knowing of his situation. And they sent this man to go and to minister to Paul and to bring a gift to him. But the trip wasn't easy. The trip was difficult. And Epaphroditus, he had gotten sick. And he nearly dies from this illness. And so Paul desires to send him back. But as he sent him back, he honored him. He didn't say, well, you sent me this no-good, low-life guy who came and he couldn't even complete his mission because he wasn't tough enough and he got sick. That's not what Paul did. Paul saw this man and his faithfulness and his loving for Paul and his loving for people, and he sent him back, and he says, I'm sending him back with honor. In verse 25, he calls him brother. He calls him fellow worker. Calls him a fellow soldier, a messenger, and a minister. Calls him brother. They weren't just friends. They were brothers because of Christ. I don't know if we think about this enough, the importance that we are a family. See, we look at our world, and there's a lot of division. And we can look at our churches, and there's a lot of division. And it was the same in the early church. It was the same in the world that they had. There was political and racial and ethnic things. There were a lot of things that divided them. Maybe a lot of different opinions here. But the gospel of Jesus needs to be something that unites people. It's something that brings us together. It brings us together not just to an organized group, but it brings us together into a family. Many of the differences remained. They were still there. They had still had things maybe that they didn't agree on, but they were overlooked them for the sake of Jesus and what God had for them. See, we are a family. Boyd Avenue Baptist Church, we are supposed to be a family, and we are united for a purpose. And above anything that can divide us, we need to be united by the gospel of Jesus. That is the way it is supposed to be inside of the church. So Paul saw Epaphroditus as his brother. He had concern for his well-being. He cared about him. He was anxious about his illness. He feared for the man's life as he was sick. And that's how brothers react when things go wrong. That's how families act when things go wrong. We treat each other with this compassion and love, and we care for each other. Friends, do you see our church in the same way? Do you see us as a family? Are you concerned for one another to the level of brotherhood and sisterhood? Are we more than just people who walk in a building and spend time together? Are we family? Do we care for our church this way? Does our concern for one another rise to the level of being a brother and a sister? And we see from Epaphroditus here of his commitment. And his commitment to God was above every commitment that he had, even of himself as he sacrificed. Paul calls him a fellow worker. He wasn't merely a good Christian. He was a good Christian worker. He worked for the Lord for the sake of the gospel. This was an honorable thing. It's important to understand the importance of what he did. But it's also important to understand that our works are not about our salvation. And sometimes we struggle with this. There is a lot of false teaching that says that if you work enough, you're going to be good enough for God. And sometimes that false teaching even gets into our churches. We are saved by grace through faith. Our work has nothing to do with it. And sometimes, even as believers, that we know this to be true, but sometimes I think we put that pressure on people. And as your pastor, please don't ever hear me pressure you to do something because I want you to do it. Please, please don't. Don't think that if you don't work enough, if you don't serve enough, that somehow God is not going to save you, that you're not worth him. Please don't think that. We serve God. We work because of our love for him and our love for each other. And that's something that Epaphroditus understood. He wasn't working to get into heaven. And friends, there's nothing you can do to work yourself into heaven. We work because we have love relationship with Christ. And what I'm inviting you to do, what I'm challenging you to do, when I ask you to serve, is not to do something out of guilt, but to do something out of love for God and for each other. And I hope you hear my heart, because I know that's not true everywhere. Hear my heart. And this is Paul's heart. I don't want to guilt you into doing something, but I want to encourage you to serve. Paul did not want to guilt anybody into doing anything. He was encouraging people to serve. The church sent Epaphroditus to Paul to serve and care for him on their behalf. That was their purpose. Unfortunately, he got ill and he couldn't do that. And he cared about the ministry to Paul, and he cared about the people of Philippi. And Epaphroditus finds himself in this spot where he wants to do both. He wants to serve Paul, but he's sick, and he cares that the people at Philippi, they're worried about him. And he is a man who puts other people's interests above himself. He didn't want either one of them to worry. He didn't want any of them to worry. And so Paul writes and he says, I'm sending him back to you. Receive him with honor. Epaphroditus was a man who was committed to his purpose and his calling and his ministry. As we look at these men, Timothy and Paul and Epaphroditus, as we look at these men, let me leave you with some challenges from their lives and some things for us to consider. These men were willing to go anywhere that God led them to go. it may not have been easy for Timothy to leave his home to travel with Paul. It may not have been easy for Timothy to leave Paul and go to Philippi to serve, but he was willing to go if it was God's plan. It hadn't been easy for Epaphroditus to leave the comforts that he had at home and journey to where Paul was, and it proved himself not to be easy, but he went. Have you told the Lord that you're willing to go anywhere he wants you to go? I remember as a college student, I struggled with this as I was called to ministry, and I was, God, I want to serve you, but God, I don't want to go anywhere cold. Because I don't like the cold. I want to go someplace warm. And he knew what was best for me. He sent me to Wyoming. And if you haven't noticed, it's not always warm here. But God knows what is best. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to believe that his plans are so much better than your plans? Are you willing to serve anyone? Timothy served Paul, but he was willing to go and serve the Philippians. Epaphroditus, he served the Philippian church, but he was willing to go and to serve Paul. He reminds me of Philip. We see Philip, and he's having a great ministry, and people are being saved in Samaria, and it's great ministry to the people of Samaria. But God moves him and says, I'm going to take you, and there's this Ethiopian eunuch on a road, and you need to go, and you need to serve him. And he went and shared the gospel with this man who became saved. Are you willing to go wherever God calls you to go? See, a servant of Christ isn't out to make a name for himself. He's available to serve anyone the Lord calls him to serve, and whatever they may look like, used by God as a servant first. And these are people that are willing to sacrifice anything. Timothy had given up his own interest to become a servant of Christ. Epaphroditus almost dies in order to serve Christ. Paul says in Acts, in his ministry to the Ephesians, he says, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and do the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Are you willing to give up anything to serve him? Are you willing to give up your desires? Are we willing to give up our ambitions, our comforts? Are we willing to give up our time and our money? Are we willing to make any sacrifice to serve him? I'm going to challenge you this morning, as we took lessons from these men that we read about, to not consider our own self-interest, but to consider what Jesus did for you on a cross and the calling as he humbled himself, that we humble ourselves and serve each other.